So there is no other word in Arabic for God other than Allah. And so the real issue is that the word Allah is pre-Islamic. Okay, right. Muhammad didn't make up the word Allah. Muhammad didn't create the God Allah.
So we're talking about the word God.
Right. You can't no just substance tell Arabs like you need to start calling God, God, as though that's somehow the biblical term. And that's the interesting thing, right? I mean, we as Christians here in the United States, we have no issue calling God, God, even though there's no word in the Bible that is spelled G-O-D, God.
Hmm.
Right? The Greek word for God is not God.
Right.
It's theos, which is actually the Greek term that's also used for Zeus. Paul chose to use that word. So words are important, but what's more important is the meaning behind the word,
right,
that it's filled with the correct meaning. And so far as I know, none of my Christian friends are praying to Yahweh or Jehovah. When you pray, Howard, I'm assuming you don't pray in the name of Yeshua, you pray in the name of Jesus, which is found nowhere in the scriptures, this
right.
idea of Jesus. This is a transliteration from the Greek word Jesus. Jesus' actual name is Joshua, the Lord saves.
Right.
But it's okay for those of you that are like thinking, oh my gosh, I've been praying to the wrong name. God knows who you're praying to. He's
right.
okay.
You he's can bigger be okay. than that.
But the idea of the word Jesus not actually being the correct term, it's really Joshua, but you know, the word is really the important thing is not the word itself, but the meaning underneath the word or the meaning that is filled into the word. And so for the word God that we use in the English terminology, it comes from the pagan deity Gat, which is the word that the English translators chose to use to translate the word theos. And so in some sense, our terminology, our word that we use for God in the English language is actually far more pagan than the term Allah.
Wow, I think you're stepping on some toes, man.
Well, I'm not trying. It's not my. I'm not the one stepping on anybody's toes. This is just history, and
that's intense.
Yeah, but I mean, it's okay. It's not like the God Gat is somehow receiving glory every Sunday morning in American
right.
churches because we're praying to God.
Right,
because
the meaning behind it changes everything, but.
It's still
uncomfortable a little bit.
Sure. I mean, right. it's like in the Old Testament, whenever Moses goes up onto the mountain and he comes back down and there you have them, they've created a golden calf.
Mm-hmm.
And who is it? Aaron at that point
right.
that says, this is the Lord God who has led you out of Egypt. Was it?
Right.
I mean, is it just because it has the correct name? Because I call it the Lord God or I call it Yahweh, does it suddenly become Yahweh?
Right.
So in that sense, I just want to say that as Muslims follow Christ, don't expect them to change the name to suddenly God, because they would probably not be comfortable with that, nor should we expect them to do that. There's nothing wrong with the term Allah.
Hmm.
And well, in some ways, it's closer, right? When Jesus is on the cross, he is crying out in the Aramaic, which has a very similar root, Allah, which mm-hmm. is the Aramaic term for God. And so Allah, Elohim, they're all coming from the same Semitic root
wow.
of the Semitic language. So we have to be careful that we just don't all of a sudden we hear somebody say Allah and suddenly our the skin starts to crawl and the hair on the back of our neck stands up. You just got to get that out of your head.
Okay, so fair. That's the semantic problem.
Right, right. But okay. then you have another problem, which I think is the deeper problem, which is the nature of God.
Yes.
That's the issue.
Because we're talking about meaning.
Because to be quite frank with you, Howard, when I hear some Christians speak about the nature of God, I'm not sure we're worshiping or talking about the same God.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Do you
yeah,
understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that lightly. I'm being serious.
No, I'm being serious too. It's sad for me, but go ahead. Yeah.
So somebody that's a follower of Christ, and at least they would say they're a follower of Christ, and then you hear them talk about the nature of God, I'm thinking to myself, I'm not sure we're talking about the same God.
Right. Give us an example.
Well, I mean, the hateful speech that I hear out of people, the desire for God to smite people and all of this stuff, I'm thinking,
yeah.
wow, that's not the way that God has revealed himself through Christ in the New Testament.
Right. It is.
Or I've even heard some people say that the Old Testament God and the New Testament God are two separate gods. And I'm thinking,
right.
where
I've
do you come
too.
Up with this? This is heresy.
Right. It kind of reminds me of the Westboro Baptist Church.
There you go. I wasn't going to go there. I think we've talked about them once before, but yeah.
Right, right. But in terms of the way they say vocally and actually go and behave, like boycotting or picketing, right? It's interesting to actually hear people on Facebook or social media that are, you know, spouting that kind of same kind of hate, but at the same time think they're not as bad as Westboro. It's interesting,
yeah,
right? Because it's like kind of in their heart, maybe they're not as vocal about it or behave the same way, but in the heart of hearts, the what was the term you used about the they believe that God is that way, the character of God.
Yeah, the nature of God, the character attributes of God.
Right.
So some have argued that these two gods cannot be the same God, because the God of the Bible, the God of Christianity, the Father of Jesus, is Trinitarian in nature.
Right.
Right. That's an argument that often comes up.
Well, to Muslims, they would say.
Right. They would say the difference between Allah and the God of the Bible is the God of the Bible is Trinitarian in nature, and Allah is a monad.
If they're gracious.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If they're willing to consider anything else. But then you have to deal with the fact that the God of the Old Testament, I don't think that the Jews are going to see this Trinitarian nature of God.
No, why would they?
Right, it's non-existent. Now, as a Christian, you can look back and try to say, you know, this is the Trinitarian nature of God, and I won't go into all the arguments, but if you want to look it up, you can look up the term Echad. You can look up in the beginning where it says, let us create. But you know what? The Quran also uses that terminology, us, and it's really more of a majestic terminology.
Wait, there is pause there. Explain that.
Which part?
The us is a majestic.
Right. So when in speaking in a kingly language, like you're speaking in behalf of an office as opposed to a relationship.
I've never considered that before.
Yeah. So there is arguments that some Christians have made that there is Jesus and the Trinity right there in the beginning. I think the Hebrew scholars that are Christian would say, you're kind of stretching it there. And they use the same thing with the term Echad, which is really a unity speaking in a singularity. For instance, let Israel cry out with one voice. It's multiple people, but it's with one voice.
Right.
And that's that term and what it means. But I've asked the Hebrew scholars, and they say, and these are Christian Hebrew scholars that say, that's a pretty weak argument, and that's not really what the Hebrew's saying, that Christians are really reading back a Trinity into the Old Testament that's not really there.
Interesting.
Yeah. So in that sense, if we make the Trinitarian argument, we would probably have to go along the lines of saying that the Jews also don't worship the same God, which would be fine for some people. For instance, Jesus in John, what is it, chapter 8, when he's dealing with the Pharisees. Howard, look up John chapter 8 when he's discussing with the Pharisees. And he says, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham saw my day and he was glad in it. And he calls them that they don't know God. He calls them sons of the devil, I believe.
So this is the Jews questioning Jesus and, you know, like claiming that he's possessed by a demon. Jesus says, I'm not possessed by a demon.
Can you imagine accusing Christ, the fullness of deity, like resting in Jesus?
Right. Yeah, you were way off. This is verse 49. This is John 8:49. But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. And then he keeps going back. And then finally, at the end, this is verse 58. Very truly, I tell you, this is Jesus. Jesus answered, before Abraham was, I am! At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from them. From the temple grounds. Man, that's a pretty intense situation. But
right.
But the terminology, I am, I mean,
right.
That's pretty...
Well, in a
Jews,
Christian sense, right, because he's claiming deity there. But he says also in that same passage, if I'm not mistaken, let me look. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and I obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced and thought of seeing my day, and he saw it and he was glad. So in essence, he's saying they don't actually know God. They don't know the Father. For if they had known the Father, they would know him, because the Father had sent him. And so that's the big question is, and that's a little bit up in the passage, right? When he talks about
right,
that.
Right, 54.
Right. So if the Jews had known God, they would have known Jesus, is essentially what Jesus is saying. And so I could understand if somebody were to say, hey, listen, the God of the Jews is not the God of the Christians, because the God of the Jews did not recognize Jesus and Jesus seems to imply that they don't actually know God.
Right.
But from my own perspective, I wouldn't go there. But I could see how if somebody was willing to say, hey, look, the God of Islam is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Jews is not the God of the Bible. The only one true God has to come with Christ at the center because the fullness of deity rests in him. Apart from the cross and the life and the incarnation of Christ, you have no understanding of God. You have some understanding of God is what I would say. They may say you have no understanding of God.
Okay.
So here's where it comes down to, right? It comes down to the cross and it comes down to Christ. I would argue that in order to understand who God is and the nature of God, you have to have faith and understanding in Christ, the Son of God, Christ, the incarnation, the fullness of God dwelling in him.